just was finished listening to one of those, what's it called? This Week in Mormon podcast. I listened to it for a little while. I'm not very fond of cultural Mormonism. And that's pretty much what all these things are about. Most of the podcasts that are Mormon-oriented are mostly about the culture and stuff like that. And that's not Mormon culture. That's Jello Belt, Utah expatriate culturalism. It has a little bit to do with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that's primarily what they have in common. And I see a little bit of Babylon in it for people going, you know, it said God had to, not Babylon, but Babel. God had to spread, had to get people away from each other because they were getting into weird things. And it was getting odd. Now people will say, well, that happened just right after the flood, and we couldn't do that because we've been around for hundreds of years. And you go, these guys were around for quite a while too. I think it's a real problem that has to be avoided. If at all possible, your relationship should be with primarily Christ. Knowing too much of the individual apostles' personal lives too often invites a sort of hero worship. I know that there's a goodly portion of people who are very devoted to one apostle or another. Elder Holland is a particular favorite of a lot of people. I'm going to put my stock there. But this isn't supposed to be so. It was hard, though, because almost everything we have of the early church, which is supposed to be something of a standard, the only thing that the Christian world really has to hang on to was Paul worship. And that's rough. That's rough. Because, you know, it almost institutionalizes this kind of stuff. How many Catholics are basically adherents of John Paul II or of one of the earlier popes, and anything that comes after from another pope is somewhat suspect. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to combat that a lot by saying the people you need to be listening to are the people who are in positions of the apostleship now, the president of the church now. You know, there is interesting insights to be gained by older references, but you know, don't stand on that. Anyway, in Swim, if we can warn them, we're talking about diversity, what they talked about. They talked about the several things. I don't know why they mix things together like nationality and family culture turned into a larger culture. I don't know why they mixed that with gay, lesbian, and transgender. Those are absolutely not the same thing. Now, it's never a problem to, well, I don't think there are big problems with doing that, but you have to have the proper attitude about how you are going to approach the gospel. And I think there's a very important thing that gets stuck under the table that's very, very visceral. And let me tell you, you can't stay who you were in your quest to become like God. The first thing you have to remember is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints mission is for people to come unto Christ toward exaltation. And that is the mission of the Church. Being inclusive is a weird take on it. Basically, people are trying to say that we need to include and welcome and love and accept, which I'm sorry, I don't think we can accept, people who are not giving up what they were in favor of taking the path that leads to exaltation, the path that Christ has given us to follow Him. Too many of these people are saying, well, the Church needs to change as an institution. And it's like, can I be more honest about what's probably more important here? Is that when you get baptized, you go through the gate of baptism and you start down the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, which is exaltation. If you're not interested in exaltation, and maybe I need to say this more strongly. Now, I am not a spokesman for the Church, but I am a priest of God. So in this case, I will speak for God. I will not speak for the Church. I don't know what the Church's aims are particularly. And when you kind of take a look at it, you go, well, I'm sorry. I talked to Lisa about this and it's almost like the Church is first gear. Okay. Let's say you've got a vehicle. It's an old standard vehicle. Now automatics have gears too, except for the continuously variable. It doesn't matter. The analogy is that once you get started down the path, you'll go in first gear at first. You're trying to slough off a lot of old attitudes and a lot of old behaviors that stand in the way of your exaltation. And I will be very pointed to embrace gayness or transgenderism. These are distractions from the path. And to decide that you can do both that serving God and mammon, gay or transgenderism being the mammon, you can't do both. You can't do both and ever hope to get anywhere past first gear. Now the question may be, is the primary mission of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints predominantly to help people at least get in first gear? And you will have to pursue the road further, typically I'm not going to say leaving the church behind, because that's the wrong take to do it at. When you go in church, okay, and they're going to give you a calling most likely, and that calling, at some point you're going to be called to teach primary. And primary is made for your kids. And so the concepts that you teach and the attitudes that you give them are kind of watered down to make them more palatable to very young minds. I'm somewhat heartened by the fact that now there has been some from church leadership saying that we shouldn't mollycoddle the youth, that we have to get them ready for what's coming on, and we need to have them very, very structured in the gospel and firmly on the road to exaltation so that they don't get distracted. Because it's during those teenage and early 20 years you're going to get distracted by a lot of worldly things that like to twist meanings, that like to cast certain attitudes in a good or a bad light, and you can find yourself wandering around in the desert for a long time, clutching on to concepts that you picked up when you were, you know, nigh on to not even 20 yet. Anyway, you can equate the entire church to basically the concept of only being in first gear, basically being a primary church. The church is basically a convert-driven outset, and so we have to take people from a variety of different ideas and things like that, and try to just start getting them interested in what's in the Book of Mormon, what's in the Bible, Doctrine and Covenants, getting them connected to the Scriptures and connected to the brethren, so that when they get to the point to where they move out of first gear, they can continue to progress and grow, continue sloughing off behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs that keep us from exaltation. And so I don't want to speak poorly of the church for what I perceive to be one of its roles, but also that it's meant to keep people moving forward. I think that's a big reason why the church is starting to get a little more home-centered, a little less church-centered. The whole concept of the Ward family is, I'm sorry, problematic at best. It probably is not hurtful at the very beginning, but you can't clutch on to that long term because can I be really honest? The church will not save you. Your participation in the church is not redemptive. Now, what the church may inspire you to do can be redemptive. Things that you will do beyond what is just considered standard at church is redemptive, but the church itself is not redemptive. Joining, being baptized is redemptive. Keeping the commandments is redemptive. Taking the sacrament, renewing your covenants, seeking repentance and forgiveness for the things that you do wrong from Christ. These are redemptive.